You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Welcome back to the Men's Podcast at Pursue God. This is Pastor John, and looking forward to spending some time with you again today. We are kicking off a multi-episode series on dads and daughters. Then we're going to follow that up with a series on dads and sons. You know, our culture tries to blur the lines between male and female, and I think that can even bleed into our parenting. I have two sons and two daughters, and I get teased a little bit by Pastor Brian because I probably haven't taken into account the differences between boys and girls as much as I should have when my kids were growing up. This has been a pretty convicting series for me as I've been preparing it. It's definitely shed some light on some areas where I could have done a better job at relating to my daughters and not raising them the exact same way I raised my sons. I don't think that's what we're called to do. Now, obviously, there are going to be some things that are consistent with both our sons and our daughters, but I think we're going to place emphasis on different things based on whether or not we're bringing up a young man or a young lady. And so that's some of the stuff we're going to get into today. I hope it's beneficial. I hope it does not raise up any condemnation. You know, I just remind all of us who are believers that we are told in the Bible in Romans 8:1 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I hope that this will be a really forward-looking episode, not so much looking back at maybe what we did or didn't do, but how to move forward in a way that's going to honor God and really going to give our daughters the best possible chance of having success in life and of leading them in a way that's going to draw them closer to Jesus. So one of the most important ways a father can love his daughter is by loving his wife well. Now you might say, wait a minute, I can go listen to a marriage podcast another time. I really want this to be about my daughter. The most important thing you can do to love your daughter well is love her mom well, love your wife well. It's going to give your daughter an example of how a godly husband should treat his wife. So it's going to exhibit the traits that she should look for in a future husband. And study after study have shown that one of the most important things we can do for the mental and emotional health of our children is to have a strong and healthy marriage. Ephesians 5:25-29, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. So men, let me ask you, does your daughter see you make sacrifices for her mom? Does she see you put your wife's desires and your wife's hopes and dreams equal to and even above your own? Is your relationship with your wife set apart? That's what this passage says. It says that we are to make our wives holy and without fault. There's two different ideas there. You might think that holy and without fault are the same thing. They're not. Holy is set apart. It means that our relationship with our wife should be unique. It should be the most important earthly relationship that we have. There is a physical aspect of that, right? Where there's a level of physical intimacy that we have with our wife that we don't have with anyone else. So that's one way that it's set apart. But it's more than that, even emotionally. You know, we can have emotional affairs if we're not careful, if we're sharing things with someone at the office or someone at church, you know, a member of the opposite sex that we don't share with our wives. Sometimes other people know the big fears that we have. They know the big frustrations that we have even more than our wives do because we haven't set that relationship with our wife apart. Again, I know this might seem counterintuitive. You might think that my most important relationship, if I want my daughter to be healthy, should be with my daughter. But that's not the case. The most important relationship you should have here on earth is with your wife. Set that relationship apart, make it holy, and that will have a tremendous impact on the relationship that you have with your daughter. Now, if you're a single dad and you're listening to this, I just want to pause for a second and say, brother, I want you to be encouraged. This doesn't mean that all hope is lost. God is a master at redeeming things and bringing beauty from ashes. He does amazing things where he takes less than ideal situations and turns them into something beautiful. So obviously, you can't love your daughter's mom if you're divorced, or maybe you never got married and your daughter's mom is married to someone else now. You can't love her the way that Ephesians 5 calls us to love our wives. You can treat your daughter's mom with respect. You can work hard to not make negative comments about your daughter's mom in front of your daughter. Now, that doesn't mean you have to pretend everything is great. That doesn't mean that you have to take blame where blame isn't due. I think you can answer age-appropriate questions about the divorce or about why you're not married. I think you can own your part in it, but you don't have to own your ex's part. You know, I have a guy that I'm meeting with right now, and my heart just breaks for him. His wife has been unfaithful. His wife wants a divorce. And she's continuing to be unfaithful to him in the process. So there's really not a hope of reconciliation because she doesn't want reconciliation. And, you know, I don't want him to tell his young daughter all the details of why this divorce is happening. I don't think his daughter is old enough to fully understand it. But there's going to be a time where he can be honest. He can be honest with his daughter that her mom was unfaithful. Now, again, he should own his part in that. He should say, hey, there were things I could have done better. I could have been a better husband. But the reality is there's nothing he's done that has justified his ex-wife stepping out on him and being unfaithful. And I don't think he has to own that. I don't think he has to take that responsibility. He needs to take the responsibility where it's due, but not in the areas where it isn't due. Here's another passage I think that is really helpful when we're trying to model what this loving our wife looks like for our daughters, and that is 1 Peter 3:7. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Now, I'm going to kind of work this verse in reverse, guys. The last sentence there says, treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. So again, I want you to make this connection to how the relationship with our wife impacts the way we raise our daughters. I hope one of the things you are doing for both your daughters and your sons is praying for them on a regular basis, praying for God's blessing on them, praying for God's protection, praying that God would draw them to himself, praying that God would give them courage to live a life that really honors him. But this verse says, if I don't treat my wife well, my prayers can be hindered. I hope that's sobering. I hope that you and I as husbands realize if we're not doing well by our wife, it can actually hinder our prayers. And our prayers are probably the most valuable thing we can do for our children, sons and daughters alike. So let's love our wives the way we should love them. Treat her as we should so that our prayers won't be hindered. I'm going to back this up a little bit more. It says, she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Some translations call her our co-heir, that we are co-heirs in Christ. She may be weaker than you are. The primary context of this is just physical strength. The reality is for most women and most men, we are going to be physically stronger than our wives. Now, that's not always the case. You might have an illness. You might be battling cancer. You might have a situation where your wife is physically stronger than you for a time. But in general, men are going to be physically stronger than women. And I think those physical limitations should play a role in the way we treat one another, that there should be a gentleness, a tenderness that we have with our wife. I think that also means that we should be paying attention to the kinds of jobs we ask our wives to do. Now, look, I'm not saying we should raise dainty women. I mean, my wife has helped me drag a deer off the mountain. My wife has helped me do hard physical labor, and I'm grateful for that. And I think that there can be times our wives do that, but there should be a differentiation between the roles in general that you play at home and the role your wife plays at home. She shouldn't be doing the majority of the heavy lifting. When it's time to put a new washing machine in and drag the old one up the stairs and out of the house, I sure hope you're not sitting around and letting your wife do that. But in addition to the physical strength, some translations describe our wives in this passage as the weaker vessel. And I think that carries with it the idea that our wives are more fragile. Again, doesn't mean that they're dainty, that they're not tough. My wife is a very tough woman. But we should be gentle in the way that we handle them. And I don't mean just physically, I mean emotionally. We need to be sensitive around our wives. We're supposed to treat them with understanding. So again, I'm kind of working through this verse backwards. It says, treat your wife with understanding as you live together. Do you do that, men? Are you really trying to understand your wife? Are you trying to understand the way she thinks? Do you try to understand the things that bring her anxiety or apprehension? And are you working for ways to minimize those? And then lastly, it started out by saying in the same way, husbands give honor to your wives. Do you praise your wife? Do you honor her? Your daughter is going to see that. And if you do, your daughter is going to look for a man who does the same for her. So that's the first thing. Love her mom well. Second, know your daughter's love language. Be intentional about speaking your daughter's love language. And proper physical affection, while we're talking about love languages, has a powerful impact on our daughters, even if physical touch isn't her primary love language. Now, you might say, well, I don't even know what her love language is. That's okay. Figure it out. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. You know, we spend so much time, men, learning things related to our job, learning things related to the Bible. We should not get tired of learning about our daughters, of trying to gain understanding. This is one of those areas that just really hit me upside the head. There are things about my daughters that I don't understand, and I've just thrown up my hands a little bit. I haven't worked as hard as I should have at really trying to understand how and why they think. And the way this will manifest itself is I'll be in a conversation with my daughter, and I'll get frustrated because I don't understand her perspective. I don't understand where she's coming from. And then when I get frustrated, I tend to get loud. I tend to get short. I tend to sound very critical. My wife has pointed that out to me numerous times, and I just have a hard head, I guess, with it. And so I really need to work better on understanding my daughter. So be a student of your daughter. And a big part of that is learn her love languages. Now, if you've never gone through the five love languages, if you don't know what those are, let me just review those. The idea behind this is that we all speak and receive love in different ways, and that most of us have a primary way that we receive love, that when someone loves us in this way, our love tank is full, is some of the language that's used in the book. And I think this is definitely true. I've seen it in my marriage. I've seen it with my children. Most of our kids will have a primary love language and then likely a secondary. So let's talk through the love language. See if as we're going through these, you can identify what your daughter's love language is. And if you don't know what it is, then I encourage you, figure it out. There are some inventories at Pursue God that you can take with your daughter that she can fill out if she's not even sure what it is, so that you can begin to speak her love language. The first one is quality time. Now, here's the deal, though, men. Your daughter gets to describe what quality time looks like. I would love to take my daughter hiking. I'd love to take my daughter fishing. I ask to do those things all the time, she doesn't feel like that's quality time. I can get frustrated over that if I want, or I can just say, you know what, sweetheart, you get to define what quality time looks like. And if quality time for you is going shopping and then going to Raising Cane's and eating chicken fingers together, which is probably what she would say, then she gets the right to define what that looks like. The second one is words of affirmation. So speaking words of affirmation to your daughter. And just like your daughter gets to define what quality time looks like, you should ask your daughter what types of affirmation are most encouraging to her. If you have a daughter who's a preteen or a teenager, she's probably going to want to hear that she's pretty. She's probably going to want to hear that she is smart. Those are the words of affirmation that are probably most powerful. If you have an older daughter who is maybe married and now she's a mom, probably the most powerful words of affirmation to her are going to be, man, you're a great mom. You're doing great, sweetheart. Keep it up. So words of affirmation. And if you discover your daughter's primary love language is words of affirmation, be very careful with criticism. Something that you would say to someone whose primary love language is not words of affirmation and wouldn't be very stinging can really sting your daughter if that's her primary love language. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't still discipline. It doesn't mean that you don't still speak truth to her. And sometimes you are going to have to use words that are critical. You're going to have to point out sin in her life. You're going to have to point out where she is misthinking, you know, where she has bought into the world's truth instead of God's truth. But just be very gentle, very careful how you do that. You might use the 3-for-1 ratio where you share 3 positive things for every negative thing that you have to share. The third love language is physical touch. Appropriate levels of physical touch are so important between a dad and his daughter. Now, those levels are going to change as she gets older, right? I mean, to have your young daughter sit in your lap and give her kisses on the cheek, kisses on the forehead, even a quick peck, kiss on the lips, I don't think there's anything wrong with that for a young child, but that's obviously not something that your teenage daughter's probably going to do, probably not going to sit in your lap and share affection the same way. But appropriate levels of physical touch are so important. The reality is, guys, they're going to seek it somewhere. One of the biggest factors, multiple studies show this, in a young woman who is sexually active is because she didn't receive appropriate levels of physical touch from her dad as she was growing up. Physical touch is important. Okay, love language number 4. Acts of service, doing things for your daughter. Now, obviously, we want to raise our daughters to be capable. We don't want to raise our daughters to be lazy. But do you regularly perform acts of service for her? And if that is her primary love language, that's going to be even more important. And then the last one is gifts. Now, we're not using gifts to buy our daughter's affection, all right? And we're not using gifts irresponsibly. You know, if money is tight, if you're in a financial situation where you're having to really mind your dollars, then getting your daughter a brand new car when she turns 16 is not an appropriate gift. That's probably not wise. So the gifts need to be in line with your financial situation. And again, we're not using gifts to buy her affection. But if her love language is gifts, it's just one of the ways that we're going to be able to show her that we love her, that we care for her. So again, those are the 5 love languages. Have a conversation with your daughter. Ask her if she knows what her primary love language is. And then just be aware they can change a little bit over time. They typically don't change drastically. But I know, for example, my wife, her secondary love language once we had children became acts of service because she just had so many more demands on her time. And so acts of service went higher on the list. All right, the last one I want to talk about today, because again, we're going to do multiple episodes with this, is I want to talk about staying in your lane. And I think this is particularly important if you are a single parent. The reality is there are some conversations that are better left to your wife, or if you're not married, to another mature woman, to another believer. We see all throughout the Bible the differentiation between male and female. Titus 6:4-7. Let me read some of the instruction from this. Older women are to teach the young women to love their husbands and children. They are to teach them to think before they act, to be pure, to be workers at home, to be kind, and to obey their own husbands. In this way, the word of God is honored. Then in verse 6, it says, also teach young men to be wise. In all things, show them how to live by your life and by right teaching. So when Titus is instructed to teach the young men, Paul says, teach them how to live by your life. In other words, you're a man, Titus. You teach the young men. I want older women to teach the young women. There are just some conversations that are better left to your wife to have with your daughter. Or if you're a single dad, another mature Christian woman that you trust, that your daughter trusts, that you can bring in to have some of those conversations. Let me give just a few examples. So as your daughter is getting ready to approach puberty and you have to have conversations about her menstrual cycle and feminine hygiene products and all those kind of things, that is just simply a conversation that's better left for your daughter to have with another woman. Now, do you know the science behind it, guys? You know, can you talk about a 28-day cycle? Can you talk about, you know, pads versus tampons and all these things that go along with that? Sure, you could. But can you empathize with your daughter? Can you talk about the anxiety that comes along with that and that big change of life? You can't. Now, that doesn't mean that you should panic. You know, if you're in the store and your daughter says, Dad, I need some feminine hygiene products, you know, you don't run to the other side of the store and say, hey, that's a woman thing. I'm not going to be a part of that. Obviously, that's not what I'm talking about. But to really get into those conversations, for her to be able to ask questions, she's going to have anxiety related to that, most likely. There's going to be some fear, and you're just not going to be able to empathize with her. So you can be supportive in that. You can lead your wife through that. You know, if your wife is hesitant to have those conversations, then that's where you as the husband need to lead in that. And you need to lead your wife through that and encourage her to have those conversations. I think another example is the purity conversation. Now, certainly men, I think you need to speak into your daughter and tell her she is so valuable to God and she is so beautiful. And I think you can have, you know, generic conversations, I guess I would say, about God's design for sex that's in the context of a marriage between a husband and a wife. But really getting into the nitty-gritty conversations about purity and establishing boundaries, I think it's much better off if your wife has those conversations, if your wife takes and owns that. And again, if you're a single parent, if you can find someone else, another woman, a believer, who can have those conversations. Because again, your daughter's probably going to have questions. Your daughter may have questions about, well, what are the proper boundaries? And I just think she's going to be better off to hear that from another woman. Then as your daughter approaches marriage, I think it would be really awkward and less than ideal for you to have conversations with your daughter about physical intimacy once she is married. She's going to have questions. She's going to have fear. She's going to want to talk through things. And that conversation should be with another woman. And then I think even, you know, your daughter's married, she has children of her own, and maybe she has questions about breastfeeding. I think it'd be silly for you as her dad to try and have those conversations. Again, can you do the research? Do you know the science behind it? Of course you can. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be informed, but you can't relate to the emotions that she's going through. You can't relate to the anxiety she might be feeling. You can't relate to the feelings of inadequacy that she's going to have if it's not going well. All of those things are going to be best served if another woman is having those conversations. So stay in your lane. You know, Genesis 1:27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is hard to hear, dads, because we want to be Superman. We want to be the end-all, be-all for our daughters and for our sons. But the reality is, you weren't created to be everything to your daughter. You can't meet every need. Only God can do that. And I think when we try to get out of our lane, at the root of that is that there's a little bit of a lack of trust. We feel like we can't trust God to use our wives or to use other people to fill that need, and that we have to fill it for our daughter. And again, you can't fill every need. That's all for this episode. Now, in the next episode, we're going to dig into how to battle lies the culture is trying to feed your daughter. I think that's one of the most important things we need to do as dads. We need to protect our daughters, and we need to protect them from the lies the culture is throwing at them every day. Lies about beauty, lies about priorities, lies about where their value lies. So tune in next time for that conversation. I hope this is helpful. Sit down and have a positive conversation with your daughter this week about her love language. God bless you guys. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.